Please be seated. The words as printed in our bulletin come from the New Common English Bible. And as we read them, they're made to be more acceptable to reading, to understand better, more of a common language, today's language. But as I was thinking about what I was going to say this morning, part of what is in the gospel book, the words that were used previously, were sort of important to me, so I'm going to point out a couple little differences in that part. For example, in there it says, all who lift themselves up will be brought low, but all who make themselves low will be lifted up. In the gospel book, it says, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. But Jesus was concerned about how they're showing themselves off a little bit. And in here, on the bulletin, it says, they make extra wide prayer bands for their arms and long tassels for their clothes. In the gospel book, it says that they are wearing phylacteries, broad and fringes long. Now, the phylactery is a little box that you'll see some of the Jewish people, more Orthodox Jewish people, they wear it on their arm or on their forehead, and it's wrapped around. And that box contains small scrolls. And so it's the word of God to them that's either close to their mind or close to their heart. But they wore it but didn't really feel it, is what I believe Jesus was trying to say. At convention yesterday, I noted some important words in the bishop's address to the whole diocesan community. The bishop said, living God's mission is investing in God's future. Living God's mission is investing in God's future. And this morning I want to focus on how we, by living out and calling God in our relationship with the Creator, living the question. In your prayer books, you don't have to open it now, but if you look at a different time on page 543, but if you look in the prayer book under ordinations for a priest and a deacon, there's what they call the examination, and then there's some questions that the bishop will ask during the ordination. And in the examination for a priest and a deacon, the bishop will ask and say, you are to make Christ and his redemptive love known by your word and example to those among whom you live, work, and worship. At all times, your life and teachings are to show Christ's people that in serving the helpless, they are serving Christ himself. And then the question he asks you, the person, the ordinand, will you do your best to pattern your life in accordance with the teachings of Christ so that you may be a wholesome example to all people? And the answer is, I will. Living the question. A priest I very much admired when I was going through the discernment process, he had given a sermon, and in his sermon he said, labels belong on cans. They do not belong on people. And that has stuck with me for 10 years, but I always find myself having a hard time staying with what he had to say. And more of that in just a moment. A few weeks ago, living the question again, in our gospel from Matthew, the leaders tried to trick Jesus and ask him, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And Jesus replied, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. As I believe Reverend Mariano was clearly trying to point out, it's more than what belongs to whom, rather it's more about the image. Not those who carry the coin of Caesar in their pocket, the image of Caesar is divine, but the image that we all carry ourselves of God and as we see and how we know God. The picture her priest carried in his wallet when she was young and the picture we carry in our hearts, the image of God in our own minds and in our own hearts. Now, living the question, the class. I have to give you my little disclaimer here. Friends, this is not an advertisement. The opinion and words being shared are strictly that of myself, the speaker, not necessarily the opinion of the group, the management, or the diocesan office at 4800 Woodward Avenue. We have a wonderful series going on for anyone to attend. It's called Living the Question. It's a series of speakers on DVD that explore and share their ideas of faith and our spiritual lives. This series is designed to open our minds to discuss so many facets of our own relationship with God, our image of the church, and our personal lives. The series is referred to as an exploration of progressive Christianity. We watch and discuss the topics with some very important ground rules. We always use the terms when speaking, I. We do not use the term we, they, or them. We hold confidential what is shared in our discussions and in that group. We respect the opinions of each and every person and do not try to convince them that our opinion is right and theirs is wrong or whatever. And finally, people are encouraged to speak as they want to speak, but they're not called on to speak if they don't want to do so. We have had some very interesting segments, the first one being on Christian life, a segment on the Bible, a segment on theology, a segment on creation, and finally last week, the lives of Jesus. Since it is me, I can openly share something that happened in class a few weeks ago. We were discussing the creation story, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, and there were some wonderful thoughts, opinions, and beliefs that were shared. In fact, one comment that was made moved everyone to ask again to repeat that comment. And I received permission from the person this morning that said it. And I love this comment. He said that what the scientists have shown what happened, and Genesis explained who made it happen. But it was a great saying. Now, the speakers on the DVD were, in what I would say, a very contemporary, thoughtful, educated, and modern understanding of creation. There was some real humor and what they had to say about creation on the DVD. However, I was the quiet person in the room that evening. I didn't say a word for about 3/4 of the night. And I just watched and listened. Well, I guess my body language gave me away, and I was finally asked if there was something that I wanted to say, that I seemed to be so deep in thought and moving around a little bit, but not commenting. I didn't have to speak, but I wanted to. So to be honest, I think I startled a few people, and some had concern for what I had to say. You see, I shared that I was upset and maybe even offended by the speaker's words on that DVD, and that I was having a spiritual meltdown. Those are powerful words to use, and I was actually taken back myself on just what was going on in my mind and how I reacted as I did. The next morning, I was going for a run, and my mind just couldn't shake what had happened the night before. And I needed to open my mind and find out why I felt that I was having that spiritual meltdown and why I use that term. I always like to take comfort in knowing that God is running alongside of me. I take greater comfort knowing that He's pushing me and keeping me going and guiding me along. And I know I had much to do when I thought more and more about it, what was going on around me in the world, the things I had heard or been reading about that week, and just so many things I've been wrestling with. I was living a question, wrestling with so much of my spiritual life and my secular life, if the two could even be separated, asking myself, why is there so much greed, evil, sadness, and unrest in the world today? Why a father who was drunk would allow his 9-year-old to drive him around? Why the leaders of nations who take so much oppress the people of their lands and do not care about the creation around us? About those on Wall Street who could so easily wipe out the savings and retirement plans of many, change an economy so quickly, and yet reap great wealth for doing so. Or people who can attend and watch a dogfight, or a group of students watching, knowing that someone is being bullied, even to the point of suicide. Or the child who is being mistreated in public, and people looking on in disgust, yet just standing by and watching. The lonely person with no money, no home, no family, just struggling to survive. The lonely person in a nursing home. The question, where is our image of God? Can't we all just try to see the face in Jesus in each and every person we deal with? Why the labels? conservative or liberal, straight or gay, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, agnostic, white, black, brown, intelligent or challenged, obese or anorexic, Bible literalist or Bible non-literalist, or those who see the Bible mainly in metaphors. Thinking back about that creation story and the Genesis story in our class, I guess what the whole creation story means for me is we are all created by a wonderful God who loves us all, knows us all very well, knows we'll all sin at some time, and can accept anyone into his love and his grace. A God that hurts when we hurt. A God that can so perfectly create an ecosystem, animals and insects which come together to help plant life. The beauty of a sunrise or a sunset, of a rainforest and a desert, mountaintops and the valley down below. Living the question, can we all become community just as Jesus was trying so hard to build? I want to read with you another gospel reading we shared at Deacon's Day with the bishop a few weeks ago. It's from Matthew also. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Thinking of this gospel and the examination referenced earlier, can we bring the light of Christ into the world? Can we all be beacons of hope for those who are disenfranchised? The helping hand to the fallen? Or as in our baptismal covenant that we said last week, will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? We as Christians need to live the question for everything that we do. We also need to really think about the question that we need to live. The beauty is that we all do not need to live how somebody tells us. Our relationship to God is just that, our relationship. In closing, the class we had last week on living the question was by far, I believe, one of the best in sharing that we had in all the classes. I went into the session with a lot of trepidation because of the handouts I had read beforehand. However, the speakers on the DVD were very insightful and had a wonderful impact. Many, when asked about the Gospels or how many Gospels are there, will say there are four Gospels. I suggest, as in the DVD, there is only one Gospel, and that is the Gospel of salvation from Jesus Christ. The Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's are all according to's, which were written to a specific audience at a specific time by a person with a specific background or education. That is why each week the gospel is introduced, the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to. So I ask you to live the question, what is your gospel and how will you live it out? My question, which I brought to myself yesterday, and it'll be explained more at a later time, is what will I do to prevent a child from dying every minute in Africa from malaria? And may all of God's people say, Amen. Amen.